Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night on a Monday. 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and always on the 101.3 ESPN app. Just a free download in that Google Play Store or in the iTunes Store, the Apple Store. However you're using it mobily, you can find us in whatever shop you're using. Also, if you're using that Alexa device, the Amazon Echo, you can just ask her to enable 101.3 ESPN. So however you're listening, we thank you for being part of us, and thank you for being part of the station family. We go up until 6:25. Red Sox baseball, they're taking on the Oakland A's. Hope everybody had a safe, relaxing, enjoyable Mother's Day weekend. All the moms out there, congratulations on all the tireless sacrifices and all the tireless work that you make. It was a fun weekend for me as well. Got a chance to go down to Albany for the weekend, see my mom, see my aunt, and I haven't seen her in almost 4 years, so it was a lot of fun to be home and mom a day late, but I tell you on the air this time that everything I have in life is owed to sports. Everything I have in life is owed to sports. Some of my best friends are all because of sports. My career is because I was playing sports and made relationships. I met my girlfriend as part of sports. Everything I have is owed to sports, and I thank you for all the sacrifices you made to make all of that possible. So hope all of you had a great and enjoyable Mother's Day as well. And if you have one more chance to tell your mom thank you, then do so now. And it was fun because driving back to Albany on Friday night, and I left here about a little before 8, 7:30 or so, and drove down and listened to the Red Sox game most of the way, listened to the game on our station until about Fairhaven, lost our signal, then pulled up the app that I have, the MLB Game Day audio app, pulled that up, and listen to the Red Sox game the rest of the way. And the Sox ended up losing that game in extra innings on a walk-off. I think Curtis Granderson was the one who hit the homer. But I'm listening to Tom Caron call play-by-play, and we're going to have to ask TC about that tomorrow, when he joins us in the huddle at 4:35, because very cool. Very cool to hear TC, who we talk to every Tuesday at that time, doing play-by-play for the Red Sox. As for what's coming up today on the show, we are minutes away from my Nana. She's going to join us. She was supposed to join us at 5 o'clock in the huddle, but had a couple things come up, so when Nana tells you she's got to rearrange the schedule, we rearrange it for her. She'll join us in about 5 minutes from now. Also, we'll talk about the New York Giants and the Eric Flowers situation. I don't like where this is headed, but I think it is headed there. We'll tell you what I mean. We'll give you those Red Sox and A's lineups because we do go up until 6:25. But first, remember trivia tomorrow, Burger Bar in Colchester. Wednesday, we are doing our show, The Huddle CBGN, live at the Windjammer as well. So a big week, trivia tomorrow, Windjammer on Wednesday. When I give you those Red Sox and A's lineups, it's going to read that Sean Manaea is pitching for the Oakland A's, and Sean Manaea no hit the Red Sox when they last played in Oakland. And Manaea was dominant, complete game. I believe it was under 100 pitches. He was phenomenal. The hardest hit ball of the game was a Hanley Ramirez ground out that ended the game. And this game's going to be fascinating to me because this game is going to put Alex Cora's hitting philosophy really to the test. And when you talk about teams, you know, teams make adjustments and then teams make counter adjustments, and the cat and mouse game goes back and forth. And what I've loved about baseball forever is that strategy, is that strategic element to it of punch, counter punch, re-counter punch. And that's what we have tonight. Sean Manaea throws a lot of off-speed stuff. For a guy who, when he came up, I thought he was a power pitcher. I thought when Manaea first came up, I thought he was 94, 96. Well, if he was that then, he is not that now. Still very young, but this guy throws a lot of slop up at the plate. He's got a herky-jerky delivery. You saw it on hand, saw it on display firsthand when he no-hit Boston just a couple of weeks ago. This guy uses his changeup 37% of the time. 37% of the time. So he uses his fastball 50% of the time and his breaking stuff, changeup slider, 50% of the time. He is looking to pitch backwards, and that's how I pitched. And my mantra was, Hitters will get themselves out. How did Sean Manaea no-hit the Red Sox? Well, he knows that the Red Sox philosophy is we want to swing early in the count. And I have championed that philosophy all season long. Swing early in the count, hit fastballs, and pitch count be damned. Who cares? If I can get early count fastballs, I can do damage on them. And the Red Sox, by and large, have done that. Well, Manaea is not going to let you do that. He is going to change up. You're going to get yourself out. And if he is working, he throws you a 0-0 changeup, you roll it over. He throws you a 1-0 changeup, you roll it over. He throws you an 0-2 changeup, you swing and miss at it in the dirt. That's how he works. He pitches backwards, and he does it very effectively when he's pitching well. The Red Sox, for a team that likes to swing early in the count, a few things are going to have to happen today, and I can't wait to see. Will Alex Cora sit back and not swing at first pitches very much? Will he have his team not do that in hopes that if Manaea is going to throw 0-0 breaking balls, 0-0 changeups, that they're out of the zone? Those pitches are harder to control for strikes. So now we are going to get ahead in the count because you're going to miss with the stuff you want to throw, and we're going to try to get to 1-0, 2-0 where you have to come to your fastball that you don't really want to do. Is he going to do that? Is he going to say, look, we know he's going to throw changeups. We're going to expect the changeup, and we're going to sit back on it and try to drive it. Are they still going to be aggressive, but are they going to change what they're looking for from fastball to breaking ball? It's going to be a fascinating cat-and-mouse game today. I am excited to watch it. I have never been more excited to watch anybody play Oakland in my entire life because this is definitely a game that will test Alex Cora's philosophy. I am with him. Hit fastballs early in the count, but if this guy doesn't give you fastballs early in the count, then do you readjust? And what if he is throwing those sliders, throwing those changeups for strikes? Are you going to sit back and take them because they're not fastballs and get down 0-2? Fascinating cat and mouse game. And then what does Manaea do? If he knows you're sitting on everything and sitting changeup, is he going to start pumping fastballs in there at 91, 93? I love it. This is what I love about baseball. And this is what, and we could talk about the NBA also in terms of what Brad Stevens has done to LeBron and what Brad Stevens and company have done to everybody, from Joel Embiid to Giannis Antetokounmpo. That strategy is what makes sports so great. It's that cat and mouse game between the quarterback and the middle linebacker. It's the cat and mouse game between Brad Stevens and the other team's superstar. It's the cat and mouse game between Oakland's coaching staff and Cora's staff, between Manaea and the catcher versus the Red Sox hitters. Tonight is going to be fascinating. For a Monday game in May, this is an exciting game tonight. And then you throw in a lot of Lake Monsters on that roster for Oakland as well. It should be a good one. Again, we'll have the lineups for you in about 8 minutes or so. First, let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line because this has become a thing now for us. My 93-year-old grandmother is a diehard Cavaliers fan, and we had her on just for fun in January for the first time. And you guys have reached out for it. You said, Brady, we need your grandma on. She is a Cavaliers expert. And I can't imagine that she's happy now. She was supposed to join us at 5. She's joining us now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. So my Nana, Cavaliers expert, Cavs lose 108-83 yesterday afternoon. But Nana, before I talk basketball, I have to ask you first. Did you have a good Mother's Day?
Oh, very nice Mother's Day. Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
Anything special?
Oh, we went out to dinner, went to Jimmy J's, and went back to Akron for dinner. And the family was there. We had Kim and Danny and Shane and Desiree. And it was very nice, yes.
Well, that's good. So you watched the Cavs, and obviously the Cavs lost by 25. What were you thinking during the game?
You know what? I just can't believe they lost by such a large margin. The 108-83, that's just not the Cavs. And I think that Marcus Morris was his name that held LeBron back so badly. That was Marcus Morris, right?
Yes.
From Boston. Anyhow, you know, at the very outset of this season, I to myself predicted that Boston was going to go all the way. And I think that maybe I was right.
Now, why did you think LeBron didn't play very well? What did you see about LeBron?
Number one, he only shot, I think, about 30%. And I think that he was so well guarded. I think they had the right man on him who kept him from moving. I mean, this guy was a great guard. They did the right thing in putting him against LeBron.
Well, Nana, the Cavaliers didn't play very well yesterday, but they did sweep the Raptors to get to this round to play the Celtics. Were you surprised they played so well and swept Toronto?
No, I wasn't surprised. I think the Cavs are very good, but I don't know. I hate to say this, but I really think Boston is a bit better. I want the Cavs to be number one, but I think that Boston is better.
What did you think of the Cavaliers' defense? Because that wasn't always very good either.
I think the defense did not do their job.
Why? What did they do wrong?
Well, I just don't think they were aggressive enough in their defense. But you know, they've got to step up to the plate, and I don't think they did that.
So that when the two teams play again tomorrow, Nana, what do you think the Cavaliers need to do differently?
I think they need to step up their defense. Their offense wasn't doing very well either, but I think that the team depends too much on LeBron James, and they've got good shooters and Kevin Love. I don't know why they're not doing better than they're doing when they come up against a tough team. But Boston is good, and you can't take that away from them.
So, besides LeBron James, which Cavalier needs to play really well tomorrow if they're going to win?
Korver, Love, they need to step up. They all need to take. And I don't know what Tristan Thompson's doing lately, but he's not doing all that great. They just need to step up, Brady.
This has been a stressful year for Cavaliers fans. How have you felt all year about? Did you think they would be in this position all year long?
I'm not surprised. However, as I told you before, I think Boston is good. I think they have the edge, and I think the team depends too much on LeBron. Our team depends too much on LeBron, and I don't know. I don't know, Brady. I wish I knew the answer, but I just think Boston may have the better team. I hate to say it.
Do you think LeBron is going to play for the Cavs next season or go somewhere else?
Well, that's a good one, because there are always rumors flying. I don't know. I think LeBron is a home person. I think he'll stay here, but I could be wrong. He lives in this area, and this is home for him, and, you know, he has small children. I don't know. I wish I could predict, but I don't think anybody could. As LeBron says, unless it comes from his mouth, don't believe it. So that's the way it is.
Will you be upset if he leaves, or will you be okay because they've already won a title?
No, I would hate to see him leave, but if he left, I wouldn't be upset about it. But I would hate to see him leave because he is the main attraction around here, you know.
Nana, good luck to the Cavs tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. We're going to say a double prayer for him tonight.
All right. I love you, Nana.
I love you too, Brady. Thank you for calling me.
Of course. Of course. And I thank you for coming on the show. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. Every time Nana comes on, people start saying that she is one of our best NBA insiders. 93 years old. Sharp as a tack about the Cavs. She's dropping the final score. She's dropping Marcus Morris references where LeBron was 2-for-6 on him. So pretty cool stuff. And she gave you the family tree while she was at it. So she's hanging out with my aunt Kim, my Uncle Danny, my cousin Shane, his wife Desiree. So that's the whole crew now. So we got Nana and the crew for Mother's Day yesterday. So a good talk. Always good to talk with Nana. And we keep bringing her back because you guys keep every time we come on, we get no less than 2 to 3 texts about her and then a couple tweets. So if you want to analyze Nana's performance, you can. 802-655-6672. It was impressive. It was incredibly impressive what the Celtics did yesterday, not only to LeBron, but what they did in general. And one of the things that was so cool to watch, again, we talked about that strategy. We talked about it before we went to the interview. We started about with the conversation about the Red Sox and their game plan against Sean Manaea tonight, is that the Celtics just continue to be put in proper positions by Brad Stevens and the coaching staff. Okay, LeBron struggled against Marcus Morris. He was just 2-for-6. He only had 5 points against Morris. The Cavs missed all 12 three-point attempts in the first half, and that is partially, of course, luck. Partially it is. But also, you look at what the Celtics did defensively, and you look at their ability to switch screens. The one thing that I think is really in the Celtics' favor in this series is that they match up very well with the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers' best lineup is when they go small and play LeBron James essentially at the center. Well, because the Cavaliers don't have a true big man that will impact the game, they're more than willing to go small with Terry Rozier, with Tatum, with Brown, with Morris. They're willing to play that game, Marcus Smart. They're willing to not send anybody out there that's bigger than 6'9". Horford, same thing. He's not very big, 6'10". So if the Cavs are going to play small, the Celtics can counter, play small, and switch every screen. And where Kyle Korver excels, where J.R. Smith excels, is coming off screens, and they catch you in flux in terms of how your defense reacts to those screens. The Celtics can just switch the screens because it doesn't. All the positions are interchangeable. It doesn't matter who's guarding who one-on-one. The Celtics can just switch in and out. And that is a major benefit right now for Boston. If Cleveland tries to go small, the Celtics are fully prepared to match that. And I'm really confident that that will continue to be the case. The Cavs will need to try to find other options. Then you flip it around and say, offensively, what is Boston doing? I mean, ball penetration yesterday was unbelievable, especially early. Jaylen Brown just dominated Kyle Korver. Marcus Morris has taken George Hill one-on-one to the basket all day long because he's backing him down. That's a matchup that's advantageous. And then how about Kevin Love? 18 points scored on him by Al Horford. Al Horford scored 18 points on Kevin Love. The Celtics have found matchups they can exploit. And I think they're going to continue to do that moving through. And then when you throw in defensively, that there is no mismatches. There's no size mismatches. It's okay for the Celtics to switch screens. And that's a big, big thing. All right, let's get to those Red Sox lineups. Sox, Fenway, A's coming at you.
Champlain Valley game night. Batting practice.
That's not right. We didn't want batting practice. Sean Manaea's on the mound for Oakland. They come in 19-21. The Red Sox are 28-12. Manaea 4-4, but just a 2-1-1 ERA. Porcello on the mound for Boston, 5-0 with a 2-7-9. Marcus Semien's at shortstop. Matt Joyce in left. Jed Lowry, the former Red Sox, he is at second. Chris Davis, the DH. Matt Olson at first. Matt Chapman at third. Mark Canha in right. Jonathan Lucroy, the catcher. And Dustin Fowler is in center. For the Sox, Mookie Betts in right. Andrew Benintendi in center. Hanley Ramirez at first. JD Martinez in left. Xander Bogaerts at short. Eduardo Nunez at second. Blake Swihart, he gets in at DH. Rafael Devers at third. Sandy Leone is the catcher. One note, remember, Stephen Wright activated from the disabled list and the suspended list, and Hector Velasquez goes on the DL. No Jackie Bradley Jr. again today. That'll do it for us. If you missed any of the show, you can find it online at 1013ESPN.com. Thanks to Dan Worley, sports lawyer, about the sports gambling decision made by the Supreme Court. Thank you to my Nana as well, and Bobby Marks, former longtime NBA executive. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. It's 1013 ESPN.